inspecting vegetables and fruit for insects and worms is something that not that long ago was a preparation that had to be made on a constant basis in every household. When you went shopping for cherries or peaches, we always had to look for freestone peaches, for instance, so that the fruit, the flesh of the fruit, could be peeled away from the pit inside, and we could check to see if there was a bug. Frequently we would find worms and reject the fruit. And this was something that we did on a constant basis. It was part of life. No one saw this as a burden. This was what you had to do in order to eat fruit, just like you had to shecht an animal and salt it and go through the preparations to make sure it wasn't a treife. So too, anything that could have had bugs and worms had to be checked. For instance, flour. It was very common to find mites in flour, and a thorough sifting had to be made. It wasn't seen as a burden. There was just no other way to use flour. All that changed during the period immediately following the Second World War. First of all, DDT was introduced, which was the wonder chemical. The fields were sprayed with it, and all the bugs died. There were no infestations, and the issue of bugs and worms just ceased practically. Once DDT was used, so bugs were eliminated. And another thing also happened, there were methods developed to centrifuge and to beat the wheat barley kernels to the point where the eggs of the mites were cracked, and maybe only 1 in 1,000 or less than that survived. And there were no more infestations from mites. And a period that lasted for a very, very long time as far as wheat and mites, but for only about 15 years or so as far as all the other bugs, ensued. Sooner or later, people began to discover that DDT caused terrible damage to the ecology. In fact, the whole word ecology was introduced into the English language over the use of DDT. The poison in the crops killed not only the insects, but killed certain friendly birds and served to introduce changes into the ecology, which weakened the food chain. And the whole idea of a food chain where there's an accumulation of these poisons was discovered. There was a book, Silent Spring, that brought out the dangers and showed that entire species would eventually be eliminated if DDT were allowed to stay in the system. And so the government made it illegal to use these insect sprays, and they had to find one or a number of insect sprays which would be friendly to the ecology, which would allow for the survival of all the species that were being destroyed through the introduction of the earlier totally effective sprays. And the bugs came back because of a period of about 20 years or so that nobody saw any bugs. People weren't used to inspecting, and it became a very big burden, and people balked at it. And the idea cropped up among many that why shouldn't we try to introduce a method for making sure that there's bug-free crops. And initially, attempts were made, and they were all failures. until finally something that had partial success began to develop, and this is pretty much the situation that we find ourselves in now. Right now, it seems a necessity because people sort of took out of their lifestyle the whole idea of inspecting vegetables and fruits for bugs and worms, and it's expected to be able to buy something in the store, just open it up and serve it. We live in the era of fast foods where difficult preparation and the home is not expected. We want things to be easy and to be quick and not to involve any complicated effort at preparation. No one is moileach, no one salts the meat in the home, which was part of the preparation for eating meat in the old days. And checking fruit and vegetables for bugs went the way of Malicha. Now, it's one thing to check a little bit, a small limited number of vegetables and fruits in the home. You open the nut, take the nutcracker, look at the meat of the nut, see if there's any worm in there. Very often there was, and you just threw it out, took the next nut. You open the fruit, found a worm in it, threw that out, opened another fruit. Open up a head of lettuce, laid it out on the table, took a couple of leaves, used it for a salad, and put away the rest, and then when you use that, you would check those few leaves as well. But when you're trying to supply the public with a bug-free supply of vegetables and fruit and grain and flour, then methods had to be developed which were good for mass production. And this is not an easy thing. Visual inspection of each lettuce leaf can be done on a large scale if you have the manpower to do it. And very often there are restaurants which serve species, especially the green leafy species, which very often have some type of infestation, and a good inspection has to be made. For this, we have certain tools which weren't available in those days, which help the staff of a restaurant or a hotel, places, institutional places, wedding halls and schools, yeshivas, to be able to come up with a fairly large amount of food which is bug-free and to serve it to the tzibur. Now, to do this, you have to have quite a bit of training. People have to know how to recognize the bug and which is the best method for being able to make sure that the food served to the clientele is bug-free. For this, we developed a whole series of rules which vary with the individual vegetable. When it comes to green leafy vegetables, we have to be mindful of the fact that these leaves are almost always translucent. That means light could go straight through it. And even the smallest bug is opaque. Light doesn't penetrate the body of that little bug. And therefore, if you have a light on the opposite side of the leaf, the opposite side, that is, that your eyes are looking at the leaf from, and the leaf is in between the light source and your eyes, so then you could check on the bug very easily by looking at the leaf and seeing if there are any black spots which the light doesn't go through, and there's a likelihood that that would be a bug. You have to take a close look because it might just be a speck of dirt. A useful tool for following this method is to have a light box, which is produced for artists, a flat box which things could be laid out on, which the light will shine straight through objects that are placed on top of the box, because there's a light beneath a plastic or glass surface. And these are used very effectively in being able to inspect large quantities of leafy vegetables. It would be impossible and surely impractical to go through all the different species. But for this, we have training courses and rule books which delineate the best and most efficient methods of inspecting large amounts of vegetables. We have the case of frozen foods, which have to be inspected before the freezing. And there are many other situations where methods such as these, personal inspection of each leaf and each particular fruit or vegetable, is impractical. And methods had to be designed which would give large amounts of vegetables without the tediousness of inspecting each leaf. There are basically three methods that are used. One is to inspect a crop in the plant of a large producer and check one crop after another until one is discovered which has a negligible amount of bugs, which is called the miyat she'enoy motzui, a small amount that's so small that it could be disregarded. This takes quite a bit of effort for mashkichim, but in many, many of the species, it's quite common that after rejecting one or two crops, one large enough for the production is discovered, and that is used to produce a certain spice or a type of leaf and leafy vegetables, packaged vegetables in quantity, which is good for distribution on a large scale. This is quite a common experience, but it takes a very organized effort for a crop to be isolated from among all the different crops that exist in the fields and identify a field which, for whatever reason, because of climate and because of the height, in other words, if it's on a hill or if it's in a valley, the right circumstances existed which were conducive to have that particular crop come out, which close to being bug-free. This is the method that's used for a lot of species, particularly spices and various berries and such things, and to be able to isolate a crop which can then be sold and labeled as being bug-free. In some cases, this is not the most practical way to do it. You could take a crop which is relatively bug-free, but which still cannot be used because the incident of infestation is a little bit too much to be tolerable, and put that crop through a good washing. And various washing methods were found to be effective, those with pointed flumes of water, which act as picks, which pick out the bugs and push them to the side, and they go out with the wastewater. And these washing systems are very good for certain types of cabbage and iceberg lettuce. And they are used to good effect, but of course, before a washing system is effective, it has to be studied very carefully by the mashkichim, adjusted to serve both the purposes that the company would want it to be used for without ruining the vegetable, and to create a tolerance level below a miyat hamotzui of infestation, and allow us to have the crop distributed as bug-free. There's a third method, and that's become common in the last couple of years. That is to create ideal growing situations, such as the hothouses that formerly existed in Gush Katif, which they were able to use to produce bug-free crops and various species, which were very, very difficult to grow without bugs, such as romaine lettuce, which is the preferred morer and used for Pesach, and which many people love to use the whole year in their salads, to species such as parsley and dill, which is very common to be infested when it's produced in these hothouses. They're bug-free. Now that Gush Katif disappeared and was destroyed, there are a number of companies which duplicated their methods successfully and find ways of producing bug-free crops. It's done in Eretz Yisrael, it's done in Mexico, and we've had quite a bit of success with this method in recent years. What's more important is, as in every similar case, to have public awareness. People have to be motivated to go back to something which everyone was brought up with just two or three generations back, and to consider a necessary requirement of inspecting the food that they eat, the natural growing food, as something that may have insects and that should be checked. The OU, in formulating policies to create hashgachas for this and to make sure that the public is given food which is bug-free and not to rely on any original method of thinking, we call this chedushim, which could perhaps take a problem and rather than resolve it and rather than eliminate it, explain why it's allowed. The preferred method and the approach is not to do that. We're not here to feed ideas to people, but rather food, and to give them something which is physically and factually bug-free so that there shouldn't be any shilas. And there's constant research being done in all these areas. No one's resting. Those who are out to inspect the crops discuss with each other the different methods, constantly improve their methods and improve their work. And we hope that with the help of Hashem, we'll have for those who wish to keep his Torah a food which is free of all the different prohibitions, Yisurim, which one violates when people take into their mouths bugs. It should be noted at this point that there are certain insects which the Torah allows. And these are so one has to learn about them and be familiar with them. It would seem that if there was a worm inside of the flesh of a fish, it should be prohibited. And yet, the halacha says that it's allowed. If there's a worm or any size insect in the intestinal system of a fish, it's different. It's not allowed. When it comes to meat, it's different. If there are bugs in meat of an animal, they're not allowed. Only in the flesh of fish. These are halachas that are not familiar to people. And the hairline differences between one and the other are not well known. But nevertheless, one should be aware that there are isolated cases where bugs are allowed, even certain type of insects and infestations that are found in different situations involving water could also pass and could be allowed, even though one is ingesting certain insects. The halachas for being boydik, for inspecting for insects, and knowing which ones are allowed and which ones are not allowed, and methods for getting rid of them and presenting to the public a bug-free crop, take an enormous amount of learning and education, take an enormous amount of expertise in developing and keeping methods which are successful in removing them, And we hope that with the help of Hashem Yisborach, we're able to do the right thing. May it be God's will that we shouldn't make mistakes. And in order to fulfill that will, we have to put in the work and hope for the Siyata Dishmaya, the special help that Hashem sends along for those who work very, very hard in trying to be successful at doing something which will fulfill the will of the Torah. Thank you.